Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Just before the holidays came the announcement that a site had been chosen for the long forthcoming Oklahoma Museum of Popular Culture to be built and operated by the Oklahoma Historical Society in the Brady Arts District. OK Pop, as it's known, will be built on a site just across the street from the Canes Ballroom on North Main and will house both the museum and an adjacent 400-space parking garage. The museum will focus on the movies, music, radio, television, illustration, and literature influenced by the state. Exhibits will range from the music of the Flaming Lips to the influence of Wild West shows or Route 66 on our culture. While the museum was first proposed nearly 10 years ago as a catalyst for the Brady Arts and Entertainment District, the Historical Society officials believe the facility will still be a catalyst for growth for a much expanded arts district. My guest today is Jeff Moore of the Oklahoma Historical Society, who will be the executive director of the OK Pop Museum. Designs are underway during this calendar year, construction expected to begin in 2018. I spoke with him just before the holidays when the announcement was first made about the site across from the Canes Ballroom. Jeff Moore, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Yeah, this has been probably exciting days for you as the executive director of the still forthcoming OK Pop Museum, but obviously this donation of land has made a big difference. Let's take a step back, if you would. What was the story behind the idea of having this OK Pop Museum here in Tulsa?
Well, for the historical context, and us being the Historical Society, we know all about historical context. The Oklahoma Historical Society has never had a presence in Tulsa. It's a state agency that's been around since 1893, was a territorial agency in 1897, became a state agency in 1907, and we have sites and museums all around the state. But we've never had a facility in Tulsa to reach one-third of the state's population. So Dr. Blackburn has always had a vision of having a presence in Tulsa. That goes back to the 90s. And in, I think, 2001, 2002, Dr. Guy Logsdon, one of your emeritus professors here at TU, Dr. Logsdon and Dr. Blackburn met, and they approached the previous owners before the Rogers family of Canes Ballroom about acquiring Canes Ballroom and turning it into a folk life museum, which in my opinion would have probably been the worst thing that could have happened to Canes Ballroom. The Rogers family have done a marvelous job in keeping that historical gem alive and what it's supposed to be doing. But that demonstrates that, you know, the Oklahoma Historical Society has been looking to get into Tulsa and have a facility here that can and meet the needs of the state, you know, population for Northeast Oklahoma.
And so when you say the pop culture, I mean, it's we think pop music when we think of OK Pop, but it's really going to be pop culture, correct?
Correct. In 2006, we, as the state was prepping for the centennial, we kind of did, I guess, maybe sort of a anti-establishment idea of throwing out some of the curators. We talked to Dr. Blackburn about creating this exhibit on Oklahoma rock and roll. Because a lot of things during the centennial is, you know, is expected. We celebrate Oklahoma. Well, we realized that a lot of the stories related to Oklahoma rock and roll were not common knowledge, not only among, you know, the American public, but especially Oklahomans. And, I mean, we had people that were just flabbergasted to know that Leon Russell was from Oklahoma. You know, now
no, we here in Tulsa
that's
know
changed,
that.
Yeah, right. Obviously, yeah. Now for sure. But, you know, there's some amazing, amazing talent that's come out of the state as it relates to rock and roll specifically. And then we had a conversation with the George Kaiser Family Foundation. We had hosted a Smithsonian exhibit on Woody Guthrie. And so they approached us because they were interested in the Woody Guthrie story. And this would have been 2007. And so we had those conversations and gave them our experience with the Woody Guthrie story and Dr. Blackburn's enthusiasm for that story. And we included Woody in our plans for the rock and roll exhibit because he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along with Bob Wills and Charlie Christian, as early influencers of rock and roll. And so that was already something we were already planning. So we threw this idea, well, you know, you guys like this story. Well, look at this context that we're trying to put it into, of, you know, and broaden the story. And that intrigued them, and they had started the preparations and plans for the Brady Arts District. and talking about, you know, what would become Guthrie Green, what would become the Woody Guthrie Center. At that time, those were not
on the radar, yeah.
formed ideas.
Right.
And so we began the conversation with them very early. How could the Oklahoma Historical Society participate in this renaissance in a valuable way and bring kind of the, you know, what Dr. Blackburn wanted to the Tulsa fabric? And Tulsa has so many amazing museums, world-class facilities. And, you know, we didn't want to do anything that would replicate something already here. That's unnecessary. But here we have an opportunity to do something special. And later on, as the George Kaiser Family Foundation was looking to bring the Woody Guthrie collection from New York to Tulsa, and, you know, obviously other endeavors along those lines, it meant something, you know, that's what we do. Our job as Oklahoma Historical Society, our mission is to collect, preserve, and share Oklahoma history. So why don't we follow suit and really pursue some of these pop culture collections, which many of those are out of state, and bring them back to Oklahoma? And as Bob Wills would say, take me back to Tulsa specifically.
Right. Well, and so the museum, when it is built, it'll be obviously a strong pop music component, but will it also be everything else about pop culture? The things we expect to see perhaps now in Oklahoma City, where it's writers, all sorts of popular arts, things like advertising and things like
that. That's right.
Will this all be a part of the museum as well?
Absolutely. You know, when we started getting serious about this idea, we want something to be viable. And making something viable is reaching the broadest audience. And we had some folks challenge us. Why are you stopping with one, rock and roll, or two, country music, or three, music? Right. Why are you stopping there? What about film? What about right. television? What about radio?
Right.
What about performance? What about stage, theater? You know, what about all these other aspects of basically American culture from the 20th century that, because of mass media, was broadcast to the world and had a huge impact economically, socially, and politically? So that was really kind of the nugget that we thought we had something here. And there's not really another facility in the States that deals with the topic holistically. And so we felt like we had an opportunity here that would not only be special, but would be unique to Oklahoma and have a positive impact on Tulsa.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, the museum, when it was first proposed, one of the major reasons for it was this, to be this catalyst for the development of the Brady Arts District. Well, that's already happened. So what does this museum add today, now that you have a Woody Guthrie Archives, you're going to have a Bob Dylan Archives in the next few years in the Brady District. You have all the museums have some area within that square mile, if you will, of a place where they're showing part of their collections. What does this add?
That's a great question. And it's something we've thought a lot about. And obviously that's the case. We thought at the beginning, if we were able to build this 3, 4, maybe even 5 years ago, probably not 5 years ago, but 3 or 4 years ago, yeah, for sure, that we would have that catalyst kind of role. It's still there. And what's so amazing about the location we're talking about is the OK Pop now takes the Brady Arts District to the west and really cements the role of Kane's Ballroom as the pop culture historic landmark in the state. You know, when Bob Wills went to Kane's Ballroom in 1934, that's 10 years before the Ryman Theater ever hosted any country music concert or performance. And I think what's so important and critical to the Brady Arts District with the Brady Theater and the Kane's Ballroom, of course, now BOK, kind of that modern 21st century approach, is that it's history and it's heart and it's soul and it's so quintessential Tulsa. And by having the OK Pop right there between Kane's Ballroom and Brady Theater is such a huge catalyst in a different way than we even planned originally. And I think what's going to happen is that it's actually going to work out better for us and the Brady. I think that that ended up being the best location. And sometimes, you know, time, it does more good things than just create great wine and great cheese. But time can actually, you know, allow us to pick the best location for a museum.
Yeah. And so with that new location right across from the Canes Ballroom, first of all, it changes probably the function of the museum a little bit, because I know at one point the idea was there'd be performance spaces, but you have this incredible performance space across the street. Now, you don't own it, but it has to be a part of the complex in some way.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing, when the idea was presented to us, and several people had mentioned it, and it just never really clicked. And then Taylor Hansen kind of said, hey, guys, why aren't we looking at across the street from Canes? And that's when we really got serious and had conversations with David Sharp and the owners of that part of the Brady District. But yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that will be there to complement Canes. And we don't have to have a venue that, you know, hosts 1,500, 1,800 people. Canes is right there. You can go experience history on your own. But I think what we have an opportunity to do is much very similar to the Oklahoma History Center in Oklahoma City. When you walk into the Oklahoma History Center, the first thing you see is the state capitol. Dr. Blackburn says that's the people's artifact number one. It unites the entire state, all these diverse regions of the state of Oklahoma. It unites all that under one building. And that's the first thing you see. And when you come out of the OK Pop, the first thing you see is Canes Ballroom. Right. So hopefully when people from all over the country and all over the world, as they start, you know, they're already coming to the Philbrook and Gilcrease, and they'll come to go to the Route 66 experience. And when they come and they go to the OK Pop Museum and they're like, wow, this is an amazing, you know, story and this idea of American popular culture of the 20th century really just defining, you know, so much of life from World War II on. And then they walk outside with that enthusiasm, and the first thing they see is an actual historic landmark that goes back to 1934, and even before as a dance studio, yeah. You know, and here's something real. It's, you know, in a way, Canes Ballroom becomes artifact number one for the OK Pop. And yeah. There it is being collected, preserved, and shared by the Rogers family with the state of Oklahoma.
Now, the site being donated for the museum, what now is the timeline for getting construction going and ultimately opening to the public?
Well, we have not designed the building. We've come up with several conceptual designs of what it could be at different locations. You know, we've looked at what it could be across from the Brady Theater. We looked at what it could be, you know, in the parking lot across from AHA. We looked at what it could be across from the ballpark and One Oak Field. And now we're going to know what it's going to look like across from
Canes Ballroom. At least your site. Yeah, your site.
So January, we will jump in head first into the design process with design schematics, which through calendar year 2017 will morph into construction drawings. We will hire a construction manager the early part of the year, and then we will go full on into groundbreaking and construction in 2018.
Now, the state money is all set aside. It's bond money, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so the money is there for construction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we will start in the early part of the year fundraising for exhibits and kind of the experience, what people will see on the inside. We're using the capital money that comes from the bond issue for the structure that will be there long term. And we will raise private funds to do the parts that change.
Right.
And it's the same business model we have for the History Center in
sure.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Various companies support the exhibits and the changing of exhibits from time to time.
Exactly.
Through the experience, yeah. My guest today is Jeff Moore, the executive director of the forthcoming OK Pop Museum. A site has been donated for a new museum, which will be on North Main, right across the street from the Canes Ballroom. It was announced at the end of this past year, and now work really begins in the new year looking at this, planning for this structure. So give us a sense of what the conceptual ideas of what a trip to the museum will entail and what sort of experiences will guests have. I know it's still early, but obviously I know you have the Leon Russell collection, so there'll be probably something to that. I know that the Historical Society's got lots of other collections from pop artists over the years. So what is an experience to the museum likely to look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I have consciously restrained myself in coming up with this is what it's going to be.
Because
we want the best and the brightest ideas. And just like, you know, taking the time to find the right site, we've got to find the right way to tell these stories. We know so many of the stories. From the historical standpoint, we have a very good outline on what are those key storylines and personalities and, you know, kind of moments in history that mark pop culture for the museum. And we're building the collections. The Bob Wills collection is probably historically the, you know, one of the most significant because of it being now across from Kane's. And we have the estate collection from the family. They've contributed that to the museum. We also have the number one collection, the largest private collection. Gentleman Dwight Adair, at the end of the year, just announced the donation of that to the OK Pop. And then the historian who wrote the book on Bob Wills, Dr. Charles Townsend, is giving all of his archive. And he interviewed all the Texas Playboys in the late 60s and early 70s. So we have all their stories of being in Tulsa and touring Oklahoma and taking the bus rides, you know, the tours on Route 66. And then we have a gentleman, Lauren Frederick, who's donated, went out and got Bob Wills' bus from a field out in West Texas. We'll have Bob Wills' 1948 flexible tour bus. And that's a key story because so many of us go to concerts at BOK or Brady or Kane's or the PAC or whatever. And we take this idea that entertainment acts tour the country. Well, Bob Wills in the 1930s was a pioneer on how all that worked from a business standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what we hope to show is that, you know, a visitor from out of the state, out of the country could come to the OK Pop. They may not know anything. They may say, why is Oklahoma doing this? But there's going to be enough, you know, degrees of separation to connect to anything that they're interested in, whether it's film or television or radio or music or stage performance or dance or comic books or humor, you know, any of those things that will allow them to, you know, make connections and learn specifically about Oklahoma, but at a broader view, what the American culture from the heartland was.
And you think of something like a tour bus. In those days, those were driving billboards. You know, today a tour bus is nondescript. You don't know what it is. It's just got black windows. But in Bob Wills' days, those were traveling billboards, if you will.
Absolutely. And he was a pioneer. He was the one that started that because he went to the General Mills mill, Red Star Milling in Wichita, Kansas, and said, hey, I will promote your flour and your bread. You will name it Playboy Flour and Playboy Bread after my band, and you will pay for my time at KVOO, and I will advertise your flour and your bread from Oklahoma to California.
Wow.
And he did. Yeah. And it was a win-win for everyone. It was a win for Bob Wills, Kane's, KVOO, and the Red Star Milling Company.
So Bob Wills will be a big part of it. But when I think of some of the other big names in sort of Oklahoma pop culture, people like James Garner or Roger Miller or Jimmy Webb or Gene Autry, are all these folks going to be?
Absolutely. Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson, you know,
we've been in contact with his family. And that's an amazing Northeast Oklahoma story.
Yeah.
Or the films, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, how many a musical slash film, Oklahoma, how many states have that you know, is so iconic, that's international in you know, in awareness. And, yeah, so film and television and Blake Edwards from Tulsa Tony Randall. And, I mean, the list is long. And it's interesting. We've compiled the list. We've put it on our website. And we start seeing all these little stories about people showing up in newspapers and publications around the state. And it's like, okay, we're having an effect because that awareness is, you know, it's not our job to tell every, I mean, it is ultimately, but if we can inspire other outlets to continue telling these stories, you know, that meets the purpose as well.
One of the things that was great about the Oklahoma History Center was the fact that, you know, from the old Historical Society to the History Center, it was like night and day difference. I mean, it was Smithsonian sort of exhibits. I'm assuming you're looking at the same sort of interactive displays, you know, the little sound domes where you'll be able to hear music, you'll hear, you know, writers reading their work, that sort of thing. They'll be throughout the entire museum.
Absolutely. And Rich, it's interesting you say that, because in a way, I almost see this, the History Center's advance from the old Historical Society building built in 1929.
Right.
I almost see the OK Pop as that a same sort of advancement, because what we're going to draw from is the entertainment industry and, you know, look at this as an entertainment venue that's sharing history more so than even maybe a museum. And so we have the collections and we have the objects, but we're with technology, we'll have the opportunity to share stories in ways they've never been told before in a museum setting.
Now, will there be a performance space at all in there?
Yeah, we'll have an event space, performance space, and we'll have an archive. One of the things that has really that we've become aware of in this process is the need for audio archiving. And the whole concept of audio recordings being lost forever is a real danger. And I was not aware of that when we started this project.
Anything that's on a tape is deteriorating.
Exactly.
Right now,
so
as we speak.
We will work. We're doing that now. We're working with Leon's master tape recordings, and we're archiving them. We're digitizing them. And we will be doing that. We've done that with Bob Will's recordings. So we will have an archival audio, sound, music, and film archiving studio and storage facility that'll be part of the OK Pop. And then also the kind of the experience, you know, how do you go in and learn about something, whether it's through a listening station, a listening room, a screen, actually seeing the artifacts, you know, doing interactives, you know, computer-based interactives, or virtual reality. You know, there's so many opportunities to do things that are new and fresh, and really, in a way, pay tribute to the creativity that come from the state in not necessarily telling their story in a staid, traditional way, but, you know, drawing from the creativity that they created and using that as our benchmark on sharing the history.
Now, one of the things the archives have done, the Woody Guthrie Archives and the Bob Dylan Archives, even though it's not even really set up yet, there's already been programming around it where you're utilizing the Brady District, you're using the Guthrie Green, you're using the Brady Theater to sort of tell a contemporary story of those artists. Do you anticipate using the district in the same way that those archives had to tell a story about whatever the subject of your main exhibition will be, you know, whether it be a concert at the Brady Theater or outdoor programming at the Guthrie Green or a street dance, you know, in North Main?
Absolutely. And we've already partnered with Woody Guthrie Center and Bob Dylan Archives and Keynes and Brady, and we will continue. And one of the things I really want to do is Tulsa has so many unique landmarks, and that's, to you know, the history and the preservation of the collections and the music and the film and the historic structures that are tied to pop culture. So we're already working with the Church Studios, which has just been purchased and is Leon Russell's Church Studios on 3rd Street, and that's being revitalized in an exciting new way. So we'll be partnering with them. We'll be partnering with the Outsiders House. You know, that's such an exciting new endeavor. And so the OK Pop is going to have a building, but we don't see the story staying in those four walls. We see story extending across the city and across the state.
Now, when Bob Blackburn first came on this show a number of years ago and was talking about OK Pop, one of the things he saw it as, this is the time of when the first Vision project was going. You had the BOK Center, you had the Convention Center upgrade. And he said, this is going to be a natural magnet for, you know, just one of those things that are going to augment Tulsa as a convention site, as a place where people are going to come from outside of Oklahoma. You know, it's the place where you have a convention. It's going to be a perfect place for a reception for those visiting folks that are coming to Tulsa. Do you still anticipate it being that, given the fact that, you know, conventions don't really happen like they used to. They only happen in Vegas or a few other cities. Most cities aren't doing a whole lot of conventioneering. So what do you expect the reach of the museum will be? Will it be mainly for Oklahomans, or is it going to be a real draw from outside of the area?
Yeah, our vision is for it to be a draw. And I think there absolutely is that, you know, that opportunity. And it all comes down to critical mass. The reason you hear about those conventions in those locations is because of there's lots to do. So we become part of a puzzle that draws people to the city. And once they come and they can go to the Bob Dylan Archive, they can go to the Woody Guthrie Center.
They have lots of restaurants in the district.
They can go to the amazing restaurants and nightlife and venues, you know, where the Brady District doesn't get going until about lunchtime. Right. But it doesn't shut down until 2 a.m., you know, and so there's lots to do, and it has the, you know, the vibrance and that all of that's only going to continue. And I think that there's opportunities that we mentioned earlier about the west side of the Brady District, you know, developing to balance out, you know, where the ballpark is and, you know, Guthrie Green. And so I only see it increasing. I don't see it decreasing at all.
So what are the next steps? I mean, it sounds like now that you have a site, you're really working on designing the museum. And I assume you're going to be start talking to people about supporting the museum as far as exhibits. Do you have ongoing discussions with various donors for material? I know at one point there was a talk about either a Keynes Museum or a Bob Wills Museum across the street from the Keynes. Is that still in the works, or is this going to incorporate some of that?
We'll absolutely incorporate the Bob Wills and Keynes story. And also, the collections, will continue. The research will continue. The outreach to the creatives, which is what we call those in film or television. You know, through the exhibit projects you mentioned earlier at the History Center, we've made a lot of contacts, so we still have a lot to do. So my feeling is that in the spring, things will get really, really intensified once we have what the building's going to look like. And that will drive the rest of the effort to get it finished.
So opening date, tentatively at this point, 2019? What do you think,
2018? Well, we looked at it's about 12 months to design, and our calendar hasn't really changed. 12 months to design, 18 months on the short end for construction, and then we've got to install everything inside after that. So my guess would be winter of 2019, 2020. It'd be nice to have it in 2019. But like Dr. Blackburn said, the important thing on this project is that it's great. Yeah. And if we need
done
to push
right.
it and make sure it's done right. If we want to push it a couple months, nobody's going to complain.
All right. Well, Jeff Moore, I appreciate your time today. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Jeff Moore from the Oklahoma Historical Society and Executive Director of the forthcoming Oklahoma Museum of Popular Culture, known as OK Pop. Just before the holidays, it was announced that a site had been donated for the new museum on North Main across from the Keynes Ballroom. Design for the new museum will take place during 2017, and hopefully construction will commence in 2018. For more information, visit okpop.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.